covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Sort of a dud after all the chaos yesterday. Truly a hangover type game two as the Brewers fall 7-5 to the A's in Las Vegas. Flying solo again tonight, I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 if you want to join us. You know, I say it's a dud because, look, everything is true that I said last night about the Las Vegas ballpark and how it's a bandbox, and I still don't love that these games count. Okay, all that is still very, very true. But in the conditions that the Brewers are in, you can still take advantage of them, and I felt like the Brewers did not do so tonight. But hey, that's why I play 162 of them. You move on. You shake it off. 7-5 really doesn't tell the whole story because all seven runs for the A's scored via homer. They hit five home runs today. And of those five, I'd say three of them are legit homers, you know. And every ballpark gives up cheapies. I mean, talk about the bullpen in right field, right? The chain link fence, Yankee Stadium porch. You've got pesky pole. Like, every stadium has unique things, right? But I think that the home runs that have been allowed, even Churio's homer in the first inning today was a cheapie, in my opinion. It's like, when you're starting off this way, when your first impression is no third deck, 2,000 feet up, 100 degrees, red flag warning, it's like, well, what do you expect? And at least this game was a little bit more normal, obviously, than yesterday, 7-5. No one bats an eye at a 7-5 game here in Milwaukee, but I thought the Brewers didn't take advantage of the climate that they were in. I mean, how many fly balls did we see today from the Brewers? How many strikeouts did we see today from the Brewers? I mean, what we saw from Milwaukee today was just not themselves. Something was off. They were not playing up to their standard. And as Pat Murphy echoed the statement in the postgame comments, you'll hear later on here in the show. But the Brewers, they struck out five times against JT Ginn and then struck out eight times against two relievers in Alvarado and Barnett. That, look, the Brewers, when you go down 11 in a row, that you're not going to win many games doing that. And that's what I big take away from this game. Not about that the A's scored seven more runs. Like, you know, runs are going to be scored in this series. But the fact that the Brewers only scored five and virtually all of their rallies were via trying to sustain a rally. They hit the two-run homer in the first two batters into the game from Churio, and then, you know, we didn't see anything else really elevated the rest of the night. But shake it off, can still win a series tomorrow. It's not the end of the world. And I thought Robert Gasser didn't really pitch all that bad and definitely pitched better than the line indicates. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. If you don't want to stay up, we're only going till 1 a.m. here tonight, but if you don't want to stay up, remember, all these are podcasted. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Let's break down Robert Gasser's day and break down the offense a little bit later with a fine-tooth comb. What's going on? What is the best lineup? And also, here at the top, yes, I saw Luis Lara signed an extension. Awesome. This is a postgame show. I'm going to save the Luis Lara conversation for Thursday's Brewers Weekly. So you can catch that in your podcast feeds that night, Thursday night. You can catch it live at 8 o'clock on WTMJ or on YouTube first thing in the morning, Friday morning on ESPN Milwaukee. And we're talking to Luis Lara tomorrow. In case you missed it, Lara signed an 8-year extension that's guaranteed $31 million, can get near $80 million if all of the escalators and all of the life of the deal is taken on for Lara. But we'll break all of that down in Thursday's Brewers Weekly. Just wanted to address that here at the top. We're not going to be talking about Luis Lara in today's show. Let's talk about the pitching. Let's talk about Robert Gasser. What went well as the crew falls 7-5 to the A's? Rubber match tomorrow at 8 o'clock on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 7-5. Let's talk a little pitching here. We also got news for tomorrow's starting pitcher. Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. 855-616-1620. Let's get to the phone lines, though, before we move along and get to some texts, too. Hunter in Reno, calling out from Nevada. Hunter, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
How's it going, Dom?
It's going great.
I'm a huge Brewers fan. I've watched a ton of Aviators games up here at the Aces Stadium, and know all these games are just ridiculous. kind of wanted to talk about the Lara extension, like if you think there's potential for trading Sal or Mitchell. Like, I know we're not going to call up Lara. This is going to get consistent play time. Like, you can't just drop Perkins to the AAA roster. Like, what do you think the plan is there for, I don't know, getting the guy play time potentially? I know the jump to AAA to MLB is huge right now. So just kind of what are your thoughts on that? Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know what? I don't want to go too deep into Lara. Like I said, we're saving it for Thursday. But the big thing that I'm excited to learn tomorrow when we talk to Lara is what he needs to focus on. You know, we'll hear from General Manager Matt Arnold. We'll hear from Luis Lara of what do they see that makes him a big leaguer by the end of this year, perhaps, right? Both him and Cooper. Now, you know, it's not that like you're thinking about the clock or service time or things like that. But the point is, when we were talking about spring training next year, we're expecting, I mean, it's fair, we are expecting Cooper Pratt and Luis Lara to break spring training with the Brewers next season in 2027. So for this year, you kind of alluded to it, the fact that, yeah, the gap between AAA and the majors is really big right now, and yet he's still hitting, last I saw, he was right around 340. I was looking at the minor league box scores earlier tonight. Nashville did win. Cooper Pratt hit a homer in that game too. 8-2 tonight. Lara, he went 1-for-3 with a 338 batting average. He also had two more walks. I think that's the thing that really makes me excited about Lara is his plate discipline. And that's what really, you know, turned my head during spring training this year, realizing, wow, last year a 20 and now this year a 21-year-old is able to have plate discipline like that against much, much older pitchers. Because there is still a stereotype for players of his stature, right? Venezuelan players, short, they're scrappy, they want to put the ball in play, they don't see a lot of pitches, and Lara's kind of bucking that trend. And he's a switch hitter, too. But to answer the question in brief, I still believe one of the three should be up this year. Now, granted, Jet Williams is really in a slump right now down in AAA Nashville, so he's got to hold up his end of the bargain if he's going to come up. Lara's been playing great. I think what it does now, it gives the Brewers sort of an outlet to say, instead of patchwork outfield moves, here's a piece that you know you can call up if somebody goes down with a rolled ankle or something like that. Or on Cooper's case, if a left side infielder goes down, bring up Cooper because you know he's going to play every day, right? I think the Brewers are in that position and ready to go right now because they know both those guys are part of their future. Trades, though, we'll see if anybody wants to call on some of the Brewers guys right now. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the thoughts. Let's do a little hot or cold. It's brought to you by our friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, right now, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has a deal and a quote available to you for a new cooling system. It can take under 10 minutes. You can do it right from home. You got short-term, you got long-term financing options. So if you're thinking about a new cooling system, call or visit cider.com today, Seider.com. It's families helping families since 1912. So who's hot and who's cold? You know, honestly, I just want to point out again, we briefly touched on it yesterday. I may or may not have even said it. Joel Kunnel yesterday, touching 99 faster than he's ever thrown, 100 miles an hour. Granted, he gave up a homer in each of the last 2 days, so we'll monitor that. But this is interesting because it's more than just mop-up duty, right? I mean, he came in when it was a one-run game. That's kind of a signal the Brewers want to find out what they have there. And a reminder on Kunal, he was signed after he was DFA'd by these A's, and the velo's up. He fits the Brewers' mold. He throws multiple fastballs already. He spent time with the Reds, of course, but he's out of options. So again, you're in this purgatory of, well, if he struggles or you have somebody else come up, how do you make room for him? Performance will take care of all of that. But just hot point is, wow, he's 97 to 98, 99 all of a sudden when that's not been his MO. On the other front here, I know Robert Gasser's line reads 5 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, and 4 homers. I think, you know, in a month's time, we can learn 2 things from this start. Number one, he threw a ton of strikes. You could argue he might have thrown too many strikes. Granted, he was ahead 0-2 on 7 hitters last I checked. Yeah, 7 hitters. He was ahead 0-2. He had only 3 3-ball counts, 2 of them were the walks. So he's getting ahead, staying ahead. Granted, the A's are a really aggressive team and showcased it with hitting 4 home runs off Gasser. And again, I thought the Kurtz one was a little bit of a flick of the wrist. I didn't think that one should be gone. Bolte's homer was legit. Bolte, that was a bomb, dead center. So there's two runs on the board for sure. And then the Soderstrom one I thought was a flick of the wrist too. I thought he got jammed. So that was a two-run homer. And another ambush swing. I really liked a lot what we saw from Gasser today. It just doesn't feel like he gave up six runs, right? And I know he is obviously going to be frustrated with a day like today where he has to pitch in this environment, but Gasser's the kind of guy to me that he can find the positives out of a game like this. He can say, okay, I fired strikes. The sweeper was actually sneaky effective in this game, but the one he threw to Kurtz in the first inning, he'd still miss his mistakes. Multiple things can be true. It can be a bandbox, and you can make mistakes that get punished. Now, it's easier for those mistakes to get punished in a bandbox. Like, did Gasser want to throw a middle changeup to Bolte? No, of course he didn't. That's why that ball got punished. That would get punished if it was Fenway Park or Polo Grounds. It doesn't matter. But there are a few pitches I thought I really loved his command with the cutter. Even in the odd environment, he wasn't afraid to go into righties. He was really attacking, trying to use the top rail to his advantage despite only being 91 to 93. I think there's some building blocks here. And Gasser's next start will likely be against the Cleveland Guardians coming up on Tuesday or Wednesday, depending, just mapping out the dates here. So I'm excited for that one. Get him back to sea level, see what he can do. On the cold side, we talked about it with the offense of just how poorly the Brewers played down the stretch. But again, it's not hard to figure out. After all the chaos and all the fun of yesterday's game, Turang and Contreras going combined 0 for 8 with 5 strikeouts. You're never going to win that game. Doesn't matter what ballpark you're in. You go 0 for 8 from your 3-4 hitters, you're not going to win the game, most generally. So the Brewers fall today by a 7-5 final score. A couple of texts before we go to break. This one, get 2 out of 3 tomorrow. This one from Doug. That's all you need, but there's no doubt the Brewers need some help on the back end of the rotation. I do like Drouin in that third spot, though. I agree. And tomorrow, we have found out Brandon Sproat will be the starting pitcher for the finale of this series Wednesday night. So, all right, see what you got. You started this road trip on Friday, and it really wasn't that bad. 5 innings, 3 runs allowed at Coors. Can you keep the ball in the ballpark at Vegas? We will find out. This one, Alex in Oshkosh, just about to go to bed. Regardless of what happens, this team might as well just focus on winning the series tomorrow. Yeah, that's a good way to look at things. I want to talk about Vaughn. I want to talk about what the Brewers need to do to get him in the lineup, because he wasn't in there today against a righty, and I want to try to explain and want to try to see both sides of the story. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ. Kind of a blah day, but the Brewers fall 7-5. Rubber match tomorrow, hour earlier, 8:05 first pitch Central Time. Coverage begins at 7:30 on WTMJ. We'll have another post-game show for you tomorrow. Maybe bring in some reinforcements for that one, too. Woohoo! Okay, let's do a little buy or sell. What's going on with this lineup? On a day after Andrew Vaughn gets 4 hits, he rakes, he had the clutch game-tying double in the top of the 9th inning, and today he's riding Pine. What gives? Now, a reminder, it's okay if you don't understand platoons, but I don't want to call Andrew Vaughn a platoon, right? I think he's a better hitter than that. I think he deserves the chance to face right-handed pitching. To give you the numbers and the reason why the Brewers are doing it this way, the Brewers feel that their offense, this is the Brewers talking, not me, the Brewers feel their offense is better suited if they're facing a right-handed starting pitcher, that especially somebody like JT Ginn, where he does have a changeup for lefties, doesn't really have anything else. So when you attack that, he has a really good slider, though, for righties to struggle with him, too. But would you rather Frelick and Mitchell be in the lineup against a right-hander, you know, them being left-handed? Because Frelick, very quietly, has really struggled this season against lefties. Same with Turang, too. We talked about that yesterday. And then Bauer stays at first base. Or against a righty, one of those two guys is coming out of the order, and you're putting Vaughn at first and Bowers in a corner outfield spot, which thus makes your defense a little bit worse. That being said, I know people are probably sitting there, oh, yeah, bench Sal. Well, here's the thing. Sal, very quietly, and I'm just giving you the data, very quietly, has been perfectly league average, even better than league average, against right-handed pitching this season. 259 against righties, a 682 OPS. League average OPS is like 695 right now. Okay? He is not a power hitter. If he sprinkles in 15, 20 doubles against righties and maybe 4 or 5 homers with an on-base that hovers around 350, right now it's 335, it's a pretty valuable player. That, though, you look at Vaughn, oh, wait, it's the exact same batting average, 259. Granted, much smaller sample size, 60 plate appearances. On base goes way down. He only has one walk against right-handed pitching this season, 283 on base. So that's a little alarming. Power goes down as well, just one homer. And then you may be thinking, well, just give him more at-bats, give him more opportunities. Sure, I could get behind that. But then you see his numbers against lefties. He's hitting over 500 against lefties. He is 17 for 31. That's a 548 average. 7 doubles, a triple, a homer. More walks than strikeouts. It all adds up to an OPS over 1,500. So the Brewers are in this in-between where they have, you know, matchups that they like. Garrett Mitchell hit the two hardest balls of the night tonight. You would like to see as much of Garrett Mitchell as you can, because when he's on, he looks so dynamic. When he's off, you're like, oh my God, get this guy out. So the way the Brewers are trying to find out what the best lineup is, especially particularly against right-handed pitching, because Bowers is starting to get starts against lefties, but he doesn't need to start against lefties because of the numbers we just mentioned for Vaughn. It depends on the lefty if he gets the start. But it's a good problem to have. Things will change. Maybe Frelick will get hot. Vaughn could cool down, or vice versa, and it really gets louder and louder. The thing that's pigeonholing Vaughn, and the Brewers for that matter, is that Vaughn's only a first baseman. He's not going to play third. Get that thought out of your mind. Andrew Vaughn is not playing third base. I would be shocked. This is kind of like that conversation we had last year. Oh, Bryce Turang can move over to short, or Caleb Durbin can move over to short. It's like break glass in case of emergency type situation. And it was not pretty while he was a member of the White Sox. Andrew Vaughn's a first baseman now. He's definitely not an outfielder, I can promise you that. These things tend to play themselves out. Depth is never a bad thing. But, I mean, Garrett Mitchell was virtually the entire offense tonight. And when he's going well, like we've been talking about, he's back above league average for batting average. He's well above league average for OPS. It's 758. His slugging's now above a 4. His on-base is above a 350. I mean, I know he strikes out a lot, but he does a lot of other good things well. When he's not striking out, he's doing damage. So that's where the Brewers are in this conundrum of, sure, they want Vaughn in there. And I thought they misused Vaughn today off the bench at the time that they did. Didn't matter. The Brewers weren't scoring a run late anyway. But it's all a puzzle. It's all meant to be distributed. Eventually, everybody will get their fill and get their X number of plate appearances that they need. Buying or selling is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Not as fun tonight, but we're rolling along. We'll try to hand out a player of the game and give you some things to look out for as the Brewers get ready to come home and end this 13 games in a row stretch out on the West Coast on 620 WTMJ. What are we going to look out for? What are we got to look and figure out as the Brewers are coming back from this road trip from pitcher's hell? Welcome back. Brewers fall 7-5 tonight. We're only going to the top of the hour. A little while longer. We'll hear from Murph and play a couple highlights, not like a full highlight recap. But with Sproke going tomorrow, an off day on Thursday, and then the Brewers haven't confirmed this, but you have likely aligned now Miz for Friday since he pitched on Saturday. You'll go Miz Friday, Drouin probably Saturday since he went on Sunday in Colorado, and then back to Harrison on Sunday against the Phils, and then another off day on Monday. Miz could make another start at the finale of that series against the Guardians, perhaps on Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how things roll. But the thing that I'm looking out for right now for the Brewers is, can you get through tomorrow with a series victory, B, doing so by hitting the ball over the fence? Okay, that's always been the priority, especially during this road trip. They have been hitting the ball over the fence, but use the ballpark to your advantage. But the thing that I about Sproat, as Brandon Woodruff threw four innings of a rehab outing today, he got his pitch count up. He was over 60 pitches, which is a good sign. Quinn Piercer's rehab outing yesterday was not good, and he is just not on my radar right now. But for Brandon Sproat and for Coleman Crow and for Robert Gasser, decisions will be made when Woodruff comes back. Who's the one that wants to stick around, right? It's probably going to be Coleman that gets optioned, just, you know, looking out ahead. But I'm not taking Shane Drone out of this rotation. He deserves to stay. Does it become Robert Gasser moving to the pen? Logan Henderson's not going to be back until July. So who is going to be of this young core? Because the crunch is coming. Probably got two more starts each to say, all right, who deserves to stay in this rotation? Sproat is on thin ice. Tomorrow could be a big day for him to move forward in the right direction. But on the other side of the offensive front, I think we're kind of underrating Jackson Churio right now. He homers tonight, which is great. A little flick of the wrist, opposite field. Jackson's back above 300 for his batting average. Jackson's got an OPS that's over 850. I mean, by the end of the season, he's going to be flirting with being a 3-4-5 player. I don't think his on-base will ever be high enough. But let's say he gets 115 games in this season. Right? Remember, he had to miss the first month plus of the season. And I'm sure there'll be off days along the way as well. 115, 120 games this season. If he finishes with a batting average over 300, an OPS flirting with 900, and let's say if he somehow, in those limited games, somehow gets to 20 homers again with another injury that cost him a month of the season like last year, whew, that is a superstar. That is why you make these gambles and why you make these deals. Churio was the OG of getting the deal. Right before he made his big league debut, biggest signing bonus at the time ever, or I should say biggest guarantee ever given to a player who had yet to make his big league debut. Churio's paying off on that right now. Keep an eye on that. It's been very impressive to watch Jack grow up in front of our eyes. So those are the couple of things that I want to monitor. What say you? Brewers fall today, 7-5. Player of the game is tough. It's got to be Garrett from the Brewers' perspective, right? Three hits today, including two doubles and two runs scored. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select models. IAMilwaukee.com, International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Murph is up next on 620 WTMJ. All right, shake it off. Murph spoke to the media after a 7-5 loss. Some good, some bad, some frustrations. Let's hear from the skipper as the Brewers fall the middle game of this three-game set against the A's.
He did some good things. We chewed up 15 outs for sure. We still were in striking distance. He's got to grow from this and understand to pitch in a big league. You got to have an out pitch. You got to have something that, you know, they can swing and miss at. But I thought he did a really nice job mixing. He got in a little bit of a groove there in the middle or a couple innings there. But, there's a lot to like.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what was he doing specifically kind of in the middle of the game there to kind of settle things down a little bit?
Yeah, it was fastball up and in, and then change up down, and then, you know, he left a few change ups up, and they got hit. But, he's still trying to get back to 100%. You know, he hasn't had that many outings. How many has this been for him? How many starts?
Total.
This year for Blake. No, which for us. For us, how many?
Yeah.
Said four starts? Okay, yeah. So, there's something there to like. There's a lot to like there with Gas, so I'm excited about where he can go from here.
Murph, here with another game, is how much of it is just picking up those innings, the task for some of these guys?
It's hard, man. It's a different game, but mentally it's a different game too, so... You know, you have to just keep battling, and, you know, this is all part of it. Make adjustments or don't, you know, one or the other. Keep making adjustments. I felt like their bullpen were really, really good. You know, the two kids that came in were special. I mean, we struck out 8 out of the last 10 hitters with really good breaking pitches down, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But other than that, I mean, they made quality pitches at quality times.
Despite the five home runs, though, you're still, I mean, you had your opportunities. I think when Alvarado came in and got the run on second, third, left them there.
We had a lot of opportunities, but, I mean, yeah, we had some, for sure. I mean, kid came in, throwing the ball really good. Churio had a great at bat against them, and kid threw a great two-seamer. When you execute like that at 100 miles an hour, you're going to get most every hitter out in the game.
He did execute. Alvarado was very impressive when his MO was that he doesn't have control, and he came out and shoved, and the Brewers at one stretch struck out six times in a row against the A's bullpen, which ain't going to cut it. Now, I'm not going to do like a full highlight recap, but just sort of explain the big moments of this game as the Brewers fall 7-5 here on 620 WTMJ. This game started with a bang. Brewers felt like, oh gosh, is this going to be one of those again? Two batters into the contest, they had the lead.
Here's a fly ball to right. Hit well, going back at the track at the wall. It is gone. Here we go. Jackson Churio hits his fifth of the season. It's a two-run shot, and the Brewers on top 2-0. Picking up right where we left off last night.
And then an underrated part of that first inning is the Brewers restarted the rally with two outs on a walk to Bowers, and then a double by Mitchell. Had runners on second and third, but Frelick popped out. That could have really been a damaging inning to JT Ginn. He still threw 24 pitches in the frame, but it could have been really, really big if they kept things going in the first inning. That's the first kind of play I wanted to point out. But Sal would redeem himself later. The Brewers down at this point by a 3-2 score after homers from Nick Kurtz and Henry Bolte, Bolte's first big league homer. We fast forward to the fourth after a double from Garrett Mitchell. Wasted no time to bring him home.
First pitch. Line smash into center field. That's in there for a base hit. Rounding third comes Mitchell. He will score the tying run. No throw to the plate. That was an RBI knock. Hit extremely hard by Frelick. We are tied at 3 in the fourth inning.
The other thing, that's another opportunity that Brewers failed to capitalize on after Renjifo even had a bloop single. First and second and only one out. Hamilton would ground out. And then Yelich would also ground out on an 8-pitch battle against Ginn. So that didn't work out in their favor either. So the Brewers have tied at 3-3, but they couldn't get over the hump, right? They couldn't find a way to take the lead. But Robert Gasser, all of a sudden, in the fourth inning, was really finding his groove.
Kurtz on deck. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Fastball got him. Two strikeouts and a 1-2-3 home half of the fourth for Mr. Gasser. And boy, these last couple of innings, he has been impressive.
Unfortunately, that groove would end in the fifth. A two-run homer from Tyler Soderstrom that was kind of a flick of the wrist, and then a no-doubter to dead center by Jonah Heim. Four homers on the day against Gasser, leading to six runs. He still struck out seven as well. It wasn't as bad as the line looks like, but yet you're only as good as your ERA says, right? But the Brewers would respond, avoid the shutdown inning of the sixth. It all began with a leadoff walk against JT Ginn. A single up the middle by Garrett Mitchell, had runners on first and second, then on the corners, I should say. A ground out by Frelick drove in a run. Renjifo grounded out, moved the runner to third. A walk by David Hamilton on four pitches kept things interesting, and little did the Brewers know, this would be the last hit of their game. Mark Kotze had come out getting ready for the fourth plate appearance for Christian Yelich against JT Ginn. Bullpen was active. He decided to not go to his bullpen, keep Ginn in, and Yelly made him pay.
1-0. And a liner back up the middle into center field, a base hit. Mitchell will score. Now the ball's misplayed in center by Bolte. So Hamilton scrambles to third. Yelich slides into second. The Brewers within a run. It is 6-5. And they've got runners at second and third.
That's it. I mean, one base hit and you had the lead. Churio worked a good at-bat against Elvis Alvarado for seven pitches. He ultimately struck out on 1-0-1 on his hands. It was a great pitch. And the Brewers will not have another base runner the rest of the night. That's how she crumbles. But tomorrow's the finale. We'll try to preview it, get you ready for it, take a quick lap at the out-of-town scoreboard, and say goodnight in just a moment as the Brewers fall to the Las Vegas / Sacramento / Oakland A's by a 7-5 final. The A's had 7 runs on 10 hits, 1 error. They left 8. The Brewers had 5 runs on 8 hits, 1 error. They left 6. The winner is Ginn. The loser is Gasser. The save for the first in his career in Mason Barnett. and a much tidier 2 hours and 34 minutes tonight as opposed to the 4:14 last night. So Vegas gets a split, right? They lose game four of the Stanley Cup playoffs to the Carolina Hurricanes, but they win tonight for their future A's. All right, let's wrap it up after this on 620 WTMJ. Couple of rookies going at it in Vegas tomorrow, or I should say later today, since we're well past midnight here in the Central Time Zone. I'm Dominic Catronio saying goodnight. Brandon Sproat and Jack Perkins get the start, both rookies with ERAs that begin with a 6. But what a story it'll be when it's dueling perfect games into the ninth inning tomorrow in the most hitter-friendly ballpark in baseball. You heard it here first. We'll see. I mean, this is kind of a prove it for both of them. See if they can build on what their year has been. The Brewers need to hit the ball in the air. Point blank, period. They need to hit the ball in the air. Today was a game that they got out of their approach a little bit. I think maybe trying to hit the ball in the air, evidenced by all the strikeouts. But yet, it seemed like every ball in the air they hit was a line drive. If it was that easy, everybody would do it, right? The A's, we should also put a little bit of respect on them. No one has doubted over these last 3 years that the A's can hit, right? It's always been the pitching is the last thing to come. And the Brewers are missing old friend Aaron Civale right now. Jeffrey Springs didn't pitch well yesterday. That's partially due to Vegas, but they're also missing Severino. I think that the A's, I keep trying to say Oakland. The A's are a team that, honestly, the moment that they arrive in Las Vegas, that they want to have a winner. And I'm looking at some of the young players on their farm, and I don't know what are the pitchers, other than JT Ginn, that are going to be in that rotation that they hope anyway when they open the doors in 2 years' time. Because they've given out extensions to a ton of these players already, right? To Jack Wilson, who's currently on the IL, to even Soderstrom, to Lawrence Butler, to Brent Rooker. Rooker had the day off today. They've given out a lot of cash, but how's the team going to be quality-wise when they open the doors in 2028 for a 33,000-seat ballpark on the Strip? That's not till 2028. And it'll be domed. You won't have to worry about that third deck. You know, it should play better. And I know for a fact Las Vegas ballpark has a humidor. I just don't think that it's ever seen this many big league hitters in the ballpark all at once, all understanding how to take advantage of the field. Taking a lap around the NL Central, the Cardinals, they continue to play well. They're not going away. 7-0 over the Mets, beating up Freddy Peralta. They're 36-28. They're in second place in the division. Very impressive. The Reds win in extras over the Padres. The Padres are in free fall. That is a 5-3 final for the Reds out in San Diego. Padres have fallen all the way to only 2 games above 500 right now. Pirates got beat up by the Dodgers 12-3 in a game that Paul Skeen started, but it wasn't his fault. He had a quality start. 6 innings, just 2 runs allowed. And then as soon as he handed it to the bullpen, they needed 3 pitchers to get through the 7th inning after allowing 10 runs in the 7th inning for the Dodgers against the Pirates as soon as Paul Skeens exited the contest. And also out west today, the Rockies hosted the Cubs. The Rockies win again, 7-3. The Cubs are only 1 game above 500 right now. I will say that again. The Cubs are only 1 game above 500 right now. That's crazy. I Tomiyuki Sugano, 5 strong against that Chicago lineup. It's not looking good right now on the north side. I mean, just for kicks and giggles, National League, if the playoffs started tomorrow, here's what the matchups would be. The Brewers would be the 3rd seed, so they would be hosting a wild card series with the last team in. That 3rd wild card is currently a 3-way tie by winning percentage between Arizona, San Diego, and Washington. Pittsburgh and Chicago are a half game out of that. Cincinnati is 2 games out of that. The number 1 wild card, St. Louis, they would be hosting Philadelphia. And the Dodgers would be the Braves would be the 1 seed. The Dodgers would be the 2 seed, which means that the Brewers would be once again matched up with the Dodgers, but this time in the NLDS if they were to move on out of the wild card round. So again, Chicago is not on stable footing right now, as St. Louis has won 5 in a row. The Pirates have lost four in a row, and the Cubs have lost seven of their last 10 games. And their run differential now also has fallen to the negatives. The Brewers, by the way, they currently have the third best run differential in all of baseball at plus 104. Dodgers are at number one, of course, at 142. Then it's the Braves at 115. The Brewers see the Braves in 2 weekends' time, not this coming weekend, but next weekend on the road in Atlanta. And then they won't see the Braves again until August. That's part of the Little League weekend when the first two games are at American Family Field. And then the last game is in Williamsport, Sunday Night Baseball live from Williamsport for the Little League Classic, where the players all interact with all the Little Leaguers who have been invited to the World Series. So that'll be a lot of fun coming up in August. Hopefully we can provide some content for you around that event. The Brewers, though, getting ready to finish up this long road trip, because then they come home for a six-game homestand. Friday night, back to the summertime first pitch schedule against the Phillies. That will be a 6:40. I was totally wrong. 6:40 first pitch on Friday against the Phils. Then on Saturday, it is 6:10, and you may have seen that game originally being on Fox. It's back on Brewers TV now if you're somebody who syncs up your television. So again, that is a Brewers TV regular game, 6:10 on Saturday. We're fighting the odds. We're hanging in there. And then finally, back to the normal 1:10 on Sunday against the Phils, and then another off day on Monday. All right. One more post-game show late night for now. Then we don't have another West Coast trip, I believe, until that 17-gamer or that 17 in a row to close out the half with the 10-3 city. Yeah, Arizona will be the last of the next West Coast trip, 4th of July weekend. That'll do it for us. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.